Suns, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. On the August 14th edition of the show, my VOA colleague Gwen Ooten will tell us about the recent Tour of Rwanda cycling competition. Also on the program, a feature on Liberia's President George Weah by Moki Edwin Kinzeka. But we're going to kick things off by going green. That's right, the British soccer club Forest Green Rovers has a goal of becoming the first professional sports team in the world to be certified carbon neutral. It's an official designation recently awarded to the Rovers by the secretary in charge of climate change at the United Nations. But that's not all. The Forest Green Rovers may also be the world's first 100% vegan football club. VOA's Mariama Jallo tells us more.
This 2,000-seat soccer stadium is powered entirely by green energy. Forest Green Rovers chairman Dale Vince took over the club 8 years ago with the goal of implementing sustainable solutions.
We've got solar panels on the roof of the stand behind me. We make 20% of all of our electricity here from those panels. The rest we bring in from windmills from around the country.
And that was just the start.
We have an electric kit van. We use electric pool cars. We've got charging points out the front for our fans so they can come to a game, plug in, and get home again. And food, we're vegan, which is the biggest difference anybody can make with their diet.
28-year-old left-back Joseph Mills, who joined the club earlier this summer, says he's often asked about the team's vegan diet.
When you speak to other players from other clubs, they always ask about the vegan side of things and obviously in and around the training ground and the stadium. And with the fans coming to the games, they obviously get to see and taste the food. And from what I've seen and tasted so far, it's been brilliant.
And players have responded well to the plant-based menu, says head chef Jabe Crawford.
They said it was really good. They had a lot more energy from it because your body's not taking so long to digest the meat and the dairy products, you know.
On the playing field, the head groundskeeper, Adam Witchell, has traded the team's gas-powered mower for one that runs on solar. He's especially proud of the team's organic field that he says is 100% pesticide-free.
We use no chemicals and no products that contain animal byproducts. Everything is plant-based. We try and feed the microbes in the soil to help do the work, to help grow the grass. We just drip feed that with things like seaweed, carbohydrates, bacteria and minerals, really.
It's the small things that make a difference, says United Nations' Miguel Naranjo.
Especially with sports organizations, they have such a big visibility, such influence on their whole community, that it's a great opportunity to teach people, to show people, actually, how they can do it also at home.
Based in the town of Nailsworth, with a population of less than 6,000, Forest Green Rovers may be small, but Naranjo says the team is a big inspiration, showing that even the smallest organization can make a big difference. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Thanks, Mariama. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. During Monday's show, I talked with Prince Nesta about George Weah, Liberia's president and the three-time African Footballer of the Year. As I mentioned on the program, Weah visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington 14 years ago. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, you can see a photo of me with now President Weah in studio. The photo was taken during his VOA visit. Check it out at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. George Weah starred for top football clubs in France, Italy, and England during his playing career. But 30 years ago, Weah played for Tanara Cholera Club, based in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. What memories do Weah's former friends and teammates have of Liberia's current president? in this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation. Reporter Moki Edwin Kinzica answers that question for us from Yaoundé.
Jean-Paul Akono is George Weah's former manager, who also coached Cameroon's national team, the Indomitable Lions. Akono still vividly remembers how the football star was contacted to play for Tonnerre Kalala Club.
It was after a match Tonnerre Kalala Football Club of Yaoundé played in Liberia that my late predecessor and friend Bendongo Paul Gaston detected George Weah. He inflicted bad luck to Tonnerre by defeating them.
Akono says during the match, Weah scored twice for his Liberian side, Invincible 11. Tonnerre's president, General Pierre Semenge of the Cameroon Armed Forces, says during the match he saw lots of untapped talents in the young footballer and ordered negotiations for Weah to join TKC.
When he arrived, the first match he played was against Canon. He netted two goals.
General Semenge says even with the impressive debut, Weah's first several months in Cameroon were difficult because he lived in a one-bedroom apartment with some of his teammates.
The house you see here is called the boys' quarter. Before he was officially lodged by my wife with other players like Kofi Abre and Seram Mensah, Tonnerre strikers were very popular among English speakers in Cameroon. They were lodged here free of charge.
Weah's most outstanding performance in Cameroon was when he led his team to win the 1988 Challenge Cup. Akono says Weah played brilliantly in front of Cameroon president Paul Biya.
Simply said, he is a person who brought a plus, a very big impetus, if I may say, not only to Tonnerre Yaoundé, but to Cameroon football in general.
Weah's arrival in Cameroon also created jealousy among some of Tonnerre's top players. Striker Dieudonné Nké says he had created an attack partnership with Stephen Tatto, who later became captain of the Indomitable Lions. But when Weah arrived, his coaches preferred him to Tatto.
Les dépendances. Avant d'être logé officiellement par ma femme.
The recruiting agent was called Mr. Onis. When he saw Weah in action on the field, he immediately fell in love with him. That is how he asked Weah to play in place of Tatto.
Weah's outstanding performances were noticed by Claude Leroy, then coach of Cameroon's national football team. Leroy then linked Weah with officials of AS Monaco. This is how George Weah started his professional career in Europe. He played for Paris Saint-Germain FC, Milan AC, Chelsea FC, and Manchester City Football Club. Akono says while in Europe, Weah would jokingly call and ask for his favorite Cameroon meals, like bâton de manioc, a cassava paste, and some of his favorite Cameroonian music.
À l'annonce qu'il a gagné les élections, j'ai exulté de joie parce que...
He loved Cameroonian music in general, but particularly music by Didi Eyango.
Both Dieudonné Nké, Jean-Paul Akono, and General Pierre Semenge asked me to play this song, On the Ups and Downs of a Man, by Makossa icon Didi Eyango, for the listening and dancing pleasure of Weah, whom they say is their courageous player, now president. And And most importantly, Jordan Inke says George Weah should remember Cameroon football, which helped launch his career to great heights, and especially helped Tonnerre Yaoundé, whose years of glory are now over.
Le recruteur, c'était Monsieur Onis. Après qu'il a vu Weah.
When it was announced that he had won elections, I shouted with joy, because it is not every day that you have a teammate who finds himself at the highest position in a state.
For the sunny side of sports, I am Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. I really enjoyed those memories of George Weah. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Joining us now on the VOA is reporter Prince Nesta, who has some magical birthday news. More sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Sonny, we want to take this opportunity here on the Sunny Side of Sports to wish one of the greatest basketball players in history, two-time inductee into the Basketball Hall of Fame and current president of basketball operations of the Los Angeles Lakers, Magic Johnson, a happy 59th birthday. The 6'9" tall, flashy, and truly unique player revolutionized the game of basketball, eliciting wonders and admiration from basketball fans. He was a member of 5 championship teams and also won the Most Valuable Player and Finals MVP award 3 times each. What's your most memorable Magic Johnson moment, Sonny?
Well, Prince, I want to take our VOA listeners back to 1980. That's when Magic won his very first NBA Finals MVP award. And one of my main memories of those finals, Prince, Game 6, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I met recently in Johannesburg, he was not able to play Game 6 against the Philadelphia 76ers because of an ankle injury. Well, Magic stepped in for Kareem. He even did the opening tip-off. He was everywhere for the Lakers. 42 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. Yes, Prince, it was a magical, magical performance. In fact, Julius Erving, the great Dr. J, who played on the losing Philadelphia squad, he said it was amazing, just amazing, watching Magic Johnson.
Well, I can only imagine. I wasn't born in 1980. Sticking to basketball, 10-time NBA All-Star Carmelo Anthony has signed for Houston Rockets after agreeing to a reported $3 million deal with the franchise. The 34-year-old was a free agent after scoring a career-low of 16.2 points per game with Oklahoma City Thunder's last season. Anthony was traded to Atlanta last month, but the Hawks then released him. The 3-time Olympic gold medalist is USA Basketball's all-time leading Olympic scorer.
Prince, what do you think we should expect from Carmelo Anthony this season?
I wonder what role he's going to play at Houston. My prediction is that he's going to be on the bench most of the time. But don't get me wrong, Sonny, he's still deadly offensively. The Rockets will surely expect more from him since he only averaged 6.2 points last season for the Thunders. All in all, it's a good deal for Carmelo since with the Rockets, he has a better chance at winning a championship because he'll be pairing up with James Harden and Chris Paul. But anyway, time will tell. Let's also give the ladies their deal, Sonny. One of the women's NBA league's all-time greats, Lindsay Wallen, has announced that she'll be retiring at the end of the season. The 36-year-old Minnesota Lynx star point guard played in 322 regular season victories and 54 more in the playoffs, winning 4 NBA titles. NBA players LeBron James and Kevin Garnett were among those who took to social media to recognize Wallen and praise her career. To some football transfer news, former Cameroon captain Samuel Eto'o has signed for Qatar Sports Club. The 37-year-old moves to Qatar after leaving Turkish club Kayanspor by mutual consent earlier this month. The four-time African Footballer of the Year joins Xavi and Wilsney Snyder as one of the star players in the Qatari League. Eto'o won two Champions League titles with Barcelona before claiming a third with Inter Milan. He has also had spells in the English Premier League with Chelsea and Everton and has also played in Russia. Chelsea's France midfielder Timo Bakayoko has also signed for Italian club AC Milan on a season-long loan. The 23-year-old, who is of Ivorian descent, made 43 appearances for the Blues last season, starting 34 of those matches. Bakayoko signed for Chelsea from Monaco in July 2017 in a deal worth $51 million.
Prince, I understand you have some bad news for Egyptian and Liverpool fans. What's happening there, Prince?
Yes, Sonny. A video that seemingly shows soccer star Mohamed Salah driving while on phone surfaced online, prompting the player's own club, Liverpool FC, believe it or not, to report him to the local police. The video clip has been widely circulated on both Twitter and Facebook, and it appears to show Salah, who scored 44 goals for Liverpool last season, using his phone while in the driver's seat of a car, which is surrounded by young Liverpool soccer fans. And Merseyside police confirmed the incident on Twitter, saying, and I quote, "We have been made aware of a video believed to show a footballer using a mobile phone whilst driving. This has been passed to the relevant department. Thank you for letting us know." If found guilty, Sonny, Mo Salah could face a fine of up to $1,300 and points on his license. That's it, Sonny. Let me drive carefully back to you.
All right, Prince, and I'm happy to see you don't have your mobile phone in your hand behind the wheel there. Thanks, Prince. That's reporter Prince Nesta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sonny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African cycling, the Rwandan Samuel Mugisha has made history as the youngest rider to win the Tour of Rwanda. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This is the fifth consecutive year that a Rwandan has worn the coveted crown. 20-year-old Mugisha finished the 509-mile race in a time of 24 hours, 26 minutes, and 53 seconds. After his victory, Mugisha said, "Winning the tour is a dream come true."
"Yeah, it was my dream to win the Tour of Rwanda, but I don't stop to work out. It showed me how I am strong I am, but I win this, but I think for next year."
Huge crowds of spectators gathered in villages and towns along this year's 8-stage tour circuit to cheer the riders on. In the final stage, cyclists traveled through the capital, Kigali, on a course that featured a total of 7 climbs, including a thigh punishing ascent up a cobblestone wall, famously called the Wall of Kigali. Riders had to conquer that wall twice. Competitive cyclist Sikoni Jazzy Kaboyi says the tour is not for the faint of heart.
"This country is called Hilly Wall. No, there's no flat stage. Every day, you know, you climb, you descend, you climb, you descend hard. So it's really hard. Every day it's really hard. It's wearing people out every day."
Kaboyi was one of 60 worn-out athletes who finished the tour. Riders came from a dozen countries, including France, South Africa, and the United States, to take on the land of a thousand hills. Rwanda is on a mission to put their country on the global map for professional cycling and to prepare riders for the sport's pinnacle race, the Tour de France. Cyclist Phil Sutherland says Rwanda's hilly terrain and strong fan support makes for good training ground.
"Rwanda's, they say the land of a thousand hills, but it's really a thousand mountains. And the riders here, they don't yet have the speed and power on the flats, but when they go uphill, they go faster, as fast as some of the best World Tour riders. So it's a different type of racing here. But I'd say the biggest difference is the fans. They're just there's fans lined for every kilometer of the entire course, just saying, go, go, go. And it's great to see the enthusiasm this country has for the sport of cycling.
Rwanda hopes their cyclists will soon garner worldwide attention, not unlike top long-distance runners from neighboring Ethiopia and Kenya. The Rwandan government has announced plans to sponsor the tour and help give the sport a strong push forward. The Tour of Rwanda is an annual event now in its 10th year under professional cycling's governing body, UCI. The president of the Rwanda Cycling Federation says next year UCI will upgrade the tour to the 2.1 category, which will enable the country to host more competitors worldwide. Go Rwanda! And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. And yes, go Rwanda! That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Germany, where reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori recently caught up with a 25-year-old Cameroonian striker who could be featuring at next year's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament.
All African professional footballers playing in the European first leagues are ready to kick. Already kicked off leagues, the English Premier, Belgian, French, Russian, Turkey, and few others are in the early stages, while the UEFA Europe Cup and Champions League qualifying rounds are in progress. African professionals, alongside their European assignments, will help their country's qualifications in the 32nd edition of Africa Cup of Nations to be hosted by Cameroon in June next year. Cameroonian striker Toko Ekambi plays for Spanish club Villarreal. In a friendly against Werder Bremen at Weser Stadium in Bremen last weekend, Ekambi scored 2 goals in Villarreal's 3-2 win.
So good game, the last game of the preseason. We are very happy.
Yeah, you have major championship this season. You're going to play the La Liga, and you're going to play European Cup, and you're going to play the African Cup of Nations. How prepared are you?
I'm ready. If I can in Villarreal for this, I'm ready to play all the competition.
You are going to defend your championship in Africa. How is your team for the African Cup of Nations?
We are ready. The African Cup is at home. There are new coach. We must to be ready to play this competition next year.
That was Toko Ekambi, a member of Cameroon team that beat Egypt to lift the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting from Werder Bremen Stadium in Germany.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Prince Nesta, we heard from Toko Ekambi in Kwabena's report. I gotta believe Toko probably has a pretty good confidence level playing the Nations Cup on home soil in Cameroon.
Absolutely, and it's going to be pressure on them because, first of all, they're hosting it, and then they're also the defending champions. So much is expected from them, considering the fact that the fans won't be expecting anything less. And so they also have a good squad, and when you also look at the coach that just came in, that's Patrick Kluivert, and I'm forgetting the name, but the new coach is actually going to shape up things as far as the team is concerned.
And I got to believe after not qualifying for the World Cup, the indomitable Lions, they'll want to roar, Prince, roar!
Like a lion.
All right. And that wraps up the August 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross and a delegation from the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa announced over $1 billion in private sector deals during their recent mission to four sub-Saharan African nations. The Advisory Council members expect to quickly conclude more than $2 billion in additional deals in the coming days. The four-nation visit, which included stops in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, concluded in Ghana, where Secretary Ross signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Minister of Finance to deepen the commercial partnership between the two nations. On previous stops, Undersecretary of Commerce Gilbert Kaplan signed a cooperative agreement with the Ethiopian and Kenyan governments. In Ghana, Secretary Ross led the U.S. delegation in meetings with President Nana Akufo-Addo, Vice President Mahmoudou Bawumia, Minister of Trade Alan Karamatin, Minister of Energy Boaki Agyarko, and Minister of Finance Ken Ofori-Atta. Undersecretary Kaplan led the delegation in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, meeting with heads of state and senior government officials, including Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, President Alassane Ouattara, and Prime Minister Amadou Gon Coulibaly of Cote d'Ivoire, and Ethiopian Minister of Finance Abraham Tekesti. The delegation also met with business leaders and U.S. companies already doing business in those markets. The delegation also met with officials at the African Development Bank to better understand how and where the bank is providing financing throughout the continent. This financing is a key tool for U.S. companies as they seek procurement contracts. Cooperation agreements signed during the trip with Ethiopia, Kenya, and Ghana identify priority projects in key sectors to help achieve long-term growth and development. The cooperation agreements also establish a forum for the governments to address and resolve business climate challenges that limit participation by U.S. companies seeking to invest or do business in the three countries. The United States is making real progress in Africa, and we remain a strong, long-term, and stable partner in the continent's economic development, said Secretary Ross. We are finding solutions to transition aid-based economies to trade-based economies by creating new pathways for mutually beneficial, long-term partnerships.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lino Armudu, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss acne, a condition where all glands of the skin become clogged, forming spots, pimples, and sometimes cysts. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, fresh off a two-nation Africa visit to Zimbabwe and Malawi, Shaka Sali talks about the fascinating people he met and the challenges he encountered reporting on democracy in Africa. On the road with Shaka on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa News. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.